This is Cyril Stevens from Christmas Valley. And again, I say to you, the joy of bringing you the Word of God exceeds all other joys in my life. It is an excitement that we can share. Now, we have been looking at the gospel according to the Word of God and the good news, which the gospel is, as it enters into our life experience. How's your life experience showing itself? How are you living for the Lord Jesus? Do you hate the things that are between you and God? Have you dealt with those things? Can you get rid of whatever it is that is between you and the Lord? Are you praying in the cross? The test of the continuous obedience of the Lord Jesus is needful. Now, this is where I want to start today and finish this little study off, because it's of great importance to you and I. I'll call it just one word, obedience. I had three children, and I said to them, each one as they started to grow to understand, obey me. Don't make excuses. I added to that later a little bit more to explain things. Don't tell me lies. If you lie, I can't trust you and I cannot believe you. But if you don't lie to me and you're always telling the truth to me, I can believe you, help you, and see you through whatever it is that is impeding you at the moment. So I had three children that I could rely upon not to lie to me. I had three children who would say yes, no, and they meant each word equally and kept each word equally. We came across an experience one day. I asked while I was gone and was doing whatever it was I was doing, preaching somewhere, would they please wash and clean the car? And the answer was a semi-enthusiastic yes. But when I got home, it was not touched. No water had been sprayed upon it. No rag had been used to wipe off the dirt and filth. And nobody had taken a vacuum or brush to clean the interior. And there was no evidence that the dust had been removed with a duster. And I looked at the car and I was absolutely frustrated. It was such a simple thing to me. And yet, quite obviously, three kids thought I was wrong. So I called them in together and I said something like this, why didn't you do as I asked? And they all looked rather sheepishly at me and their eyes wouldn't meet my eyes. And they looked out of the window, they looked at the ceiling. Their looks examined everything that was in that room. And I said, let me teach you a lesson. Let me show you what the Bible says. Let your yea be yea and your nay, nay. Don't mess around. If you're going to be obedient and do it, then get it done. If you don't want to do it, say so. And someone else will get the job. Well, they mulled that over. Some 50 years or more has gone by since that day. These three children still treat me yes, no. I don't have to argue with them, and they don't lie to me. I don't have to say yes, but, because they've told me all they're going to tell me. There's nothing else to tell. What can you get out of the one syllable no? Or yes. Not much. I must confess I was a little thrown at first when they started using this sort of language. But gradually it dawned on me that we were the safest family in the country because we agreed to do as we were told. So they had learned a lesson and I learned a lesson. One day my son, he was taught to look left, look right, look left again, and if no vehicle was in the way, step out off the curb and walk across the road. He was a little chap. He wasn't a big fellow like he is today. He was a very small fellow for his age. Having been reprimanded by him, he said to me one day, "You know, I know the way home. I can get home." Well, I knew that, but I also knew that he didn't do things quite the way I wanted them. And so I would hang back and look in somebody's front yard or look in a store window so that he wouldn't see me, but he would go on home and be independent. And gradually he got more independent and so on. But on this particular day, he turned to me and he said, "You know, you don't have to follow me. I'm going straight home." Well, what had happened was this. He looked left, he looked right, he looked left again, and stepped out, which was what he was taught, into the road and walked across the road. There were about two buses and four cars that almost hit one another, trying to keep out of his way and not crash at the same time. And he got to the other side, this enormous grin that he had as a child. It just went all over his face, and it was sort of, "See, I can cross the road." The trouble was he had a habit of looking left and looking right and shutting his eyes to look left again. That was the trouble. And as I watched him, I said, "You've got to keep your eyes open." "Oh, yes, I know, I do." "But you don't always." "No, I forget." But he didn't realize what he was not doing and why he should keep his eyes wide open. So a little lecture took place, and he changed. Lots of people are like that. They look left, they look right, they look left again, and, you know, they don't see much of the Lord Jesus. And the reason is they were put off by a funny old gentleman that taught them the book of Psalms or taught them a piece of scripture or told them these long stories that lasted weeks on end and they lost interest in. Or they had a lady teacher who was more interested in touching her hair and making sure her face was pretty and her glasses were clean. She was more interested in that than she was in telling the stories of Jesus. And so it went on. So you have good and you have bad Sunday school teachers, they sort of don't work. We are called to be obedient. The hill of the Lord Jesus Christ was to be owned and honored as law of life. Self-expression demands not fences or fetters, not restraint, but it needs to be aware of where these restraints are. Bind to the virtue of a man or woman, the love of God, between liberty and license. To do as the Lord Jesus would have us to do. We need to do as not we like. That's license, but to do as we ought in freedom. A river or a marsh, which is it to be? It's hard to cross a marsh. Freedom says, "I know the truth, and the truth has made me free." And we need to pass from the negative to the positive. To be free from guilt is exciting. To be free from self and to be lifted high. "Continue in my word," said Jesus. Now, if we continue in his word, we read it. and we continually read it. I'm thrilled to bits that I've got some grandchildren who almost fight to be the first in the year to have read through the scriptures, Genesis through Revelation. And there was a squeaky little voice, an 8-year-old boy, one day on the telephone. And he said, "Hello." I said, "Hello, this is Cyril Stevens." And he said, "Yes, I know that, but I've done it." And I thought, who in the world is this? I said, "Well, what have you done?" "I've just done it. I've just finished it." And I said, "Well, who are you? Because I don't recognize your voice." He said, "Yes, you do. My name's Tim." And it was Timothy, our youngest grandson, 8 years old at the time. It was October, and his father had given his family a year to read through the scriptures. It was October. And on October the 1st, he finished reading through the scriptures, Genesis through Revelation. I've done it. Since then, I believe, like his father, he has been reading the scriptures once a year. Now, his father sometimes gets 3 or 4 reads a year of the Word of God because he spends time in the Word of God. When he has lunch, he reads the Word. When he comes home, he has the Word open and he reads to the children and his wife, or they read to him, and they have fellowship. And then he reads the Word of God for himself. And that's his evening spent. And you may think, what a waste of an evening. He could have, oh, could he? God called him to be obedient and to look at the Word. And so he's doing that. And now for 40 years, that young man has looked at the Word of God every day of the week. And he has read the Word of God every day of the week. And that Word has grown in him and causes him to think things that are just massive. God has revealed himself to him through the Word. Now, this is a great thing that is taking place in his life, and because of it, in my life and his mother's life. And we thank God for every remembrance of him. Obedience. The will of the Lord Jesus to be owned and honored as the law of life. Self-expression demands and lays its demands down, but not to build fences or to make fetters or to restrain, but to show the beauty of Jesus. Now, freedom is, thou knowest the truth. We need to press from the negative to the positive, take ourselves free from guilt. It's exciting. To be free from self is to be lifted. Continue in my word, says the Word of God. Now, to be free from guilt is a simple operation. We come before the Lord in a daily way and we say, "Lord, yesterday this was guilt. This guilt was upon me because I had sinned. And this guilt got into me because I was wrong. Now, Lord, please cleanse me from guilt." And you find that the guilt goes away. You find that the Lord Jesus has forgiven you that guilt, and you are now a very positive person, and you can continue in the Word. What does it mean to continue in the Word? To be constantly reading it, constantly discussing it, and constantly applying it to your life. The life that God has given you, the life that God has breathed into you through his Holy Spirit, this life is yours. It's an important thing. You and I both have to be in the place where we're not offended with things and brotherly love floods our lives. Look at John 13, verse 35. We talk of the test of brotherly love. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. It sometimes is not easy to love one another, and we come up with all sorts of excuses. But we're talking here about love that is insight and sympathy, that craves to bless and delights to commune. It should grow to bless and grow to help and grow to restore and heal, enrich. Love, if there is an offense, the offender is to be dealt with, not talked about. Even though the offended become an enemy, we are to feed him, and if he's thirsty, give him to drink. Sometimes we have been guilty of carrying some sort of grudge, and we've carried it for years, maybe, and we've carried it for too long. If it's a day old, it's too long, and we need to get rid of the grudge. We need to put it aside. We need to be able to stand and to be a group of people that forgives one another. We need to be loving each other. How can I help this brother who has such a madness or such a foolishness going on in his life? How can I help this sister who is in dire need? Can I be helpful? And so on we go. I was impressed in a church I belonged to. As pastor, I had said to them, we've got some young men and a lot of widows, and I want to put these two together. And I want the young men who have skills to fix the electrics, to fix the plumbing, to fix whatever it is in a house that needs fixing. And I want to be able to call upon young men to go to that house and get things done without thinking it would last a long time. And it's now 50 years that this has been going on. But these people in this church, the widows have no needs, because the young people, the young men and the young women, they make sure that the people that are older and no longer capable of looking after things, that they are looked after. What a beautiful thing that is. And what a lovely sight it is to go to weddings and discover the little boy that used to go with his mummy or daddy to this old lady's house and fix all sorts of things, is now a father himself and teaching his son or daughter to do something for old people. Tremendous ministry is laying out there, waiting for us to pick up the tools of love and to present it to people, and to show it to one another, and to help one another. Now, keep your money in your pocket. It shouldn't cost you a dime. Everybody should look after one another. I believe that older people should not have to lift a hammer or a nail, but should be able to go ahead and do what is necessary for that older person, so that the older person can benefit thereby. How are you doing in that department? Do you care? Do you help? Do you think about things in that way? You may, and you can, and you should. So let brotherly love continue, and people will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Maybe there is a breakdown between you and a brother or you and a sister. Well, go to that person and apologize for your part of it. And see if tears can't be brought from both of you, and that the love that Christ put in your hearts cannot be re-revealed. It's awfully necessary and very, very needful. The shortage of love is enormous. Ask yourself this: are we wearing a badge or bearing a testimony? What are you doing with your Christian faith? Is it the badge on your lapel, or are you actually living this faith? Very important, because love comes first. The last thing I want to share with you here is, quickly, the test of the fruit bearing. If you go to John 15 and verse 8, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. Ye shall be my disciples." And the Lord Jesus talks about binding us, binding to the inner circle and outer spheres of life, together with one beautiful sphere. Abide in me, and I in you. Jesus will come into your life not like a lodger, but like a person who has come in to live with you, to keep you straight and to keep you filled with love, and to overflow your life. Abide, live with, it means, live with me. The Lord Jesus is saying, I want you to come in and bear much fruit. And you can easily bear much fruit. It's not difficult. Abide in me, and I'll abide in you. And the blending of the human and the divine is in us. Bear much fruit, the outer invisible toil of life builds character. The inner rapture of the soul is the expression of God, and comes to express in the center and to capture the life for the service of God. Are you serving this Lord, this wonderful, wonderful Lord? Isaiah again, chapter 9, verse 2, "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light." Jesus saying, the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness. Are you one of those that's shining in darkness? Are you one of those that is letting people understand that God is absolutely full of the grace of God, and he wants to express it, and you're chosen? And you're chosen to be the blessing. You're chosen to be the person. You're chosen to be that person who can show and share the love of God. Oh, there's a practical power in the love of God. We read that all things work together for good to them that love God, who are called according to his purposes. And salvation comes in three different ways, but we'll look at that at another time. We must learn Jesus went to such trouble to procure for all of us the love of God. And when I go through the Word of God and find some expression of his will, to know that I do his love has begotten new love in me, that I love him because he first loved me, is paramount, and that is discovered in the first letter of John, the 4th chapter, the 19th verse. So now we come to that place where in a moment I shall pray, but I ask you, can you pray with all your heart And can you open your soul to Jesus? Lord Jesus Christ, we pray that your blessings and your love and your nearness may be upon us, and that we may follow you lovingly all the rest of our lives. We ask this in your name for your sake. Amen. Hey, thank you for listening. See you again. Bye-bye.